Hi, this is John Reed with the Free From Corporate America radio show at freefromcorporateamerica.com, where I talk to you about some of the themes in my upcoming book and take a look at it from the vantage point of the themes of the book, which are Free From Corporate America, Success on Your Own Terms. I think the official subtitle is a little different than that, but you get the idea. The point being of my book is it's not a book that is trying to necessarily dismiss careers in corporate America at all. It's simply a matter of learning how to work the system to your advantage. And I'm defining this freedom by the ability to engage on your own terms economically and to achieve a level of economic freedom where you're not beholden to either employers or clients. So what I'm doing with this podcast series is taking a look at some of the chapters on the site and elaborating on some of the themes behind the chapters and maybe conversations that I've had about some of these themes since the original chapter was written. These chapters are dated and they're anywhere between 2 years old. It's about exactly 2 years ago I posted the first one. Up until the present, many of them have been very much rewritten in the book. So the web versions are a little bit older. They still have all the key components. But at any rate, this is a chance to bring some of the themes up to date with some new insights. Today I want to talk about a chapter that's really, I think, one of the most important chapters in the book, and it's called Moving Beyond the Cult of the Expert. At an earlier point in the book, I talk a lot about why, if you're determined to become free from corporate America, you need to develop a marketable expertise. And the reason it's so important is that corporations are very, very good at mass marketing and capturing mass markets. And so the way that we become marketable beyond that context is to find niches that, for whatever reason, larger companies aren't able to achieve by themselves, or we have a special role to play in that. And, you know, there's all kinds of niches. I mean, you can point to, like here's an example from the sports world, a guy like Mel Kiper, who's become a big famous pundit, but his deal is like the draft. Like, he's known as the NFL college, you know, draft prospects guy. So whenever that theme comes up, you're going to pick up the phone if you're doing a show, and you're going to see if Mel's available, and everyone else takes the back seat to Mel in that regard. And so, you know, you come up with these areas where, okay, this is what I'm known for out there that no one else is, and you try to put enough of a twist on it that you can become known in such a way that no one else can really follow. And there's all kinds of examples. My most successful personal achievement in that area is in SAP, the software market, where I'm known as the SAP career expert. Now, unfortunately, it's not the most marketable niche of all time, but it is something where I've gotten a lot of play out of the fact that that's the one thing that I, you know, have really made a name for myself in over many years. And so you find these focus niches, and then you figure out how you can take advantage of them for all kinds of opportunities, whether it's consulting opportunities or publishing books or any other ways you can develop revenue sources from that expertise. But the problem is that the cult of the expert is also a trap. So to walk you through the themes in the chapter, I start by pointing out once again that we have to make a distinction between an expert and what I call an aficionado. And aficionados are essentially folks that have expertise that just isn't very marketable. And sometimes this is even to the point of tragic, where you're incredibly good at something that the market just doesn't support. And there's nothing more heartbreaking than watching genius-level people toil in obscurity with things that just don't have a real market value. You know, whether it's someone who's an amazing drag queen performer or, you know, an incredible musician. I've known a couple of both. I've known a lot of amazing musicians that continue to toil in obscurity. And some of the things in this book are designed to help people like that. But bottom line is that sometimes you can develop these aficionado activities that are great hobbies, perhaps. I talk in this chapter about Harry Potter figurine collecting, hairband memorabilia, and fantasy football is three examples of aficionado activities, and I say indulge them by all means, as long as you have the cash to burn or are comfortable treading water financially. At certain points in life, it's fine to coast. So that's a pretty harsh statement. I'm basically implying that indulgence in these activities can actually hurt you financially. And to a certain degree, I think that can be true, especially when you talk about activities that actually, if you want to talk, for example, about sports gambling, where it almost falls into more the vice category than aficionado, but you're pouring money out instead of taking money in. So I think hobbies to a degree can be really fulfilling, but especially when our financial picture is poor, we have to ask ourselves about where our focus is best spent. And so one of our first challenges is developing a marketable expertise that passes that aficionado versus expert test and is actually something that can be financially effective. And I have a pretty strong statement about that too. How do you know when you become a marketable expert? That's an easy one. You'll know because the phone will ring and it won't be a telemarketer. You'll be approached with new job offers, business partnerships, and speaking opportunities. So that's a really key point in the process of becoming a successful professional in the way I've defined it in this book. And I recall a period in my life in the late 90s where that was my life. I was running a successful recruiting firm and the dot-com boom was on, and I used to make a list of the job offers I'd received, and it went past 20 at one point, and it felt great to have that kind of job security where the phone was ringing off the hook. But unfortunately, that's not really where my life has been at in recent years as much, though in the marketplace now, I'm starting to see a little more of that in my life again as we speak. But there have been years where the phone hasn't rang at all, and ultimately that sends you a really strong message, because if the phone's not ringing, it means that, in some cases, I guess it could be the email box not filling. When it's not, then it just kind of sends you a message. You're a little bit outside the market in some ways. You have to figure out how to hone that a little bit more. And then I go on to say, you know, once you achieve this level of expertise that's marketable, a lot of people, that's when they make their biggest mistake. And so I say that's the point where most people screw up. They start to buy into their own hype, becoming infatuated with how billable they are. So becoming a sought-after expert's a big step, and it gives you options. But it's a trap in a sense, because you can't step away. If you're not billable, you're not making money. And the more sophisticated your expertise is, the harder it is to train someone when life throws you a curveball or, as I say in the book, an extreme sports accident. And so, you know, the problem with being a marketable expert is simply that suddenly you become dependent on that. And if you're not out there billing your hours, you're not making money. Now, there are certainly people who, you know, I use the Mel Kiper example of someone who, you know, like if you achieve that level of celebrity with your marketable expertise, you're billing at such a high rate that you can afford to take a lot of time off and these aren't really a concern. But for most of us, we're not going to bill at that obscene type of rate. And so we're going to need to figure out how we can develop something where we can take our hands off the wheel a little bit more. And so I say that this book is not about achieving conventional power, feeding the ego. It's about accumulating the resources to reclaim the ultimate commodity, your own time spent as you see fit. Work when you want on your own terms. Experts generally can't do that. It is wonderful to feel indispensable, that is, until the terrifying day when you realize you were chained to your desk. So what's the solution? Basically what it is that becoming a marketable expert is really just an intermediary step. It's a way of getting you further away from being under the control of one employer, under one person's beck and call, because you're now a player in your industry. You have more options on the table in front of you. But there's more to be done. And what I say is that the happiest entrepreneurs built systems on top of their expertise, systems that were easily taught to others. So once you figure out how to stay billable, you take it one step further and figure out how to remove yourself from the equation. So when you talk about business development, for example, developing assets, developing income streams, you're looking for stuff that doesn't require as much day-to-day monitoring on your part, things that you can hand off. And one of my criteria is that, you know, most of the things that make your business or your asset run should be things you could almost train like a high school student to do. They should be systems that anyone could put into place and anyone could fill, so that you're no longer indispensable to every aspect of the income that's coming in. And that's a really key criteria for businesses, by the way. And when you look at how businesses get sold and acquired, it can teach you a lot about this, because typically when you have an owner at the center of a business that can't step away, businesses are not nearly as valuable and people aren't nearly as interested in buying such a business, because without you in the mix, the business has a questionable value. And so this is a good way of looking at this thing and saying, can I create things where I can really step away and I could sell that and someone else could take over and run it or what have you? And you might never want to do that, but it's still a great criteria for quality of life, whether or not you actually could step away like that. So I have some pretty strong words about that. I say the harder it is to teach someone to do what you do, the further away you are. And I look at myself and say, I'm still far away. I still count on my expertise in the SAP marketplace to foot my bills. My ultimate goal is to create assets that others can manage, but I'm not there yet. And so that is a real splash of ice water for me, that my business is ultimately still more than anything a consulting business, where my own efforts, if you want to call it my charisma, my knowledge, whatever it is, that's what I have to sell, and that's how I pay the bills. Now, I love the fact that I don't work for anyone else anymore. I kind of determine my own hours and schedule. I have a lot more control over those things than I did when I was younger, but I'm still really at the beck and call of clients, and I'm still basically month to month, billing my hours and making my revenues, and I'm looking to go beyond that. So what am I doing to get beyond it? Well, I think it really then comes down to what your expertise is. And for me, my passions and my expertise fall into publishing. And so one thing I'm hopeful about is that if I can develop some self-sustaining websites where I can sell a range of products such as books or audio tapes or products from partners and vendors that I would work with, that some of that would become more passive income streams. Of course, it's a matter of degrees. I'm not necessarily going to step away from that right away. Now, of course, there's easier businesses to run even than that, but you do have to try to strike a balance between what's marketable and what you have a passion for, because, you know, it takes a long time to truly step away. And in the meantime, you have to pick stuff that you do want to be involved with and that you do want to stick with and watch grow. But it's so, so important to figure out how it is you can create systems that allow you to step away, income that is more passive, that is less dependent on you always being on the client side or always consulting in some capacity. So I say towards the end here, there's nothing wrong with being an expert of something. It's a lot better than being a generic middle manager the companies can hire and fire at will. But unless our goal is to work ourselves into the ground, expertise is ultimately a trap, unless our expertise is training other people to run our business. So a lot of the most successful business people I know, what they're really good at is creating an environment where they can hand off that business to other people. So what they're really good at is training other people to run their businesses for them. And if you can get to that point in your career, then you have all kinds of freedom to define your life, and you probably have financial assets as well. You work when you want to work. You can apply your money towards the things you most want to do. And that's a vision of being free from corporate America, where you might still very much be a part of the corporate world as far as how you earn your money, but it would be much more on your own terms. And from there, so many things are possible that are not available to those of us that are just busting our humps to get by every week. And right now I have to unfortunately include myself in that. So, my ultimate goal is to move beyond that. And this book is one more way that I'm trying to do that. But, you know, you take it one project at a time, but I do believe in this methodology very much. And that's why I'm taking the time to share it. The chapter itself has some more practical examples of some of these themes, and I think I expanded on this even a little more in the book that's going to be available in a bit. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and I am going to be doing these for a number of chapters, so feel free to check back again and get some more of my take on what some of these chapters are all about and how you can apply them. And if you want me to take anything that you've read or thought about in these materials and incorporate them into some of these future podcasts, and send me an email. The email's on the site. It's john@freefromcorporateamerica.com. And look forward to hearing from you, and I hope these podcasts are helpful to you as you formulate your own career strategy. So I'm going to sign off from Free From Corporate America radio show, and hopefully we'll be back again soon with another broadcast.